This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Sims Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit BalanceofNature.com. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How we doing? Hey, listen, Gio.
Yeah.
If you go make fun of my ass, okay, let's do it the right way. You know, if you're going to say... It's not, it's Phil. You got to say a little southern accent. Phil.
Phil.
Yeah, Phil. There you go. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh my,
oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we got
that's
everybody
right.
over right. here at the radio station saying, oh my gosh, there, my cuddly toy friend. You know, when I hear that that Best Friend song and they you know, you listen to the words and you're saying cuddly toy, that's not what I think of Phil Sims.
No.
Well, not cuddly at all.
No, I don't know what to say to that.
Hey, how'd you feel about the James Brown comments on the Jimmy Traina podcast where he said that he missed you and Boomer?
Yeah, that was very nice. I did hear that. That was yesterday. Did y'all talk about that yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
And
yeah,
he said nobody prepared more than you. That's what James Brown said.
Well, that's what I like to tell people. It's not really true. So, no. But, hey, what else am I going to do? So I do. I like to watch football games. Big deal. It's, you know, people say, you watch the games, all of them, every week? And I go, yeah. Just think, I have to watch football. That's my job, the games. And all of a sudden they go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. So, yeah, it's fun. I like trying to find out. I'm nosy, just like Boomer.
Yeah, and watching the Jets is a chore these days. That's not fun. I don't care what you say.
Yeah,
so just go. Say whatever you want to say about that train wreck.
Well, I'll say this about the Jets. First and foremost, I thought their offense was more expanded more, had more plays, more thoughts and all that against the Patriots. I thought Aaron Rodgers played well. Of course, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, a lot of good stuff there. They did everything to help their team win. And then the most fearful, whatever you want to say, defense in the NFL, this is what's going to take us to the Super Bowl. It lets them down on the last drive with Jacoby Brissett in there, who was the backup quarterback. They made mistakes on the last drive. They gave up big plays. They let the quarterback scramble for 14 yards. They had a blitz, and they forgot to cover somebody. And then the big one, the big throw down the field to Boutte, who was dropping everything for the Patriots, all of a sudden makes a great catch, and you just sit there and watch the game and go, they're going to lose. It's not going to happen. And many reasons why. The kicking game was terrible. So there you go.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot, Phil, and for a lot of different reasons, whether it be Aaron's personality, whether it be trying to get, you know, Davante Adams in the mix. You know, one of the things I asked Gio, and I thought maybe I was seeing things, and then went back and watched the tape again. Is there a reason why, like, Garrett Wilson keeps falling down after he makes a catch or feels like he has to go down to make every catch on the ground?
Well, I don't know the reason. I think the fact a couple times I would just say he's his first thought is to really just to make sure and secure the catch. So he gives everything up to get both hands, both arms, and to just to be careful not to drop it. That's I know what you're talking about. A few of those throws, you think, well, he could have just ran through the pass and maybe picked up a lot of extra yards, but I think that's what it is, just trying to just secure the catch and not worry about catching and running. So,
yeah, my thing is, like, a great receivers, you know, he's a good receiver. I know Adam Orcholetta was really extolling his virtues during the game, and I'm not saying that they were all that accurate of passes coming his way. And I just felt like, you know, some guys run and they'll snatch the ball with their hands and they'll keep running. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I guess I'm nitpicking here, but I want to see a guy that is supposed to be a number one 1A receiver, you know, make more plays after he gets the ball in his hands.
Well, I look down at there. I got a sheet in front of me that I write about each game a little bit. And I got Garrett Wilson, 5 catches, 113 yards. and this is exactly what it says, could have and should have been more. So maybe that goes into what you're saying when I watch the game and everything. But I don't know about the Jets. It's funny. They got the offense going, and I do mean it. I thought they presented more plays and more thoughts. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, look, he made a lot of great throws. Now you just wish when you watch the game, you wish New England would have scored a little earlier because Aaron Rodgers was definitely going to get him down there to try at least get a field goal try.
Good luck with that. That's a fiasco. Yeah, I would imagine that they're going to have a new kicker Thursday night. So now no Steph Diggs for the Houston Texans. Obviously a huge loss for them because he had the most receptions out of this wide receiving crew. But your assessment of the Texans, they're 6-2. They're running away with the South. I feel like I guess Indianapolis is right on their heels. They're going with Joe Flacco now. But right. Your sense of the Texans and where they are, and this is probably a game where it's hard to believe the Jets are favored in this game.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. Nico Collins out, Tank Dell out.
Steph Diggs is out.
Steph Diggs is definitely out. And Tank Dell is out, too, if my recollection is right here. But, no, he's going to play. Sorry. I'll get it straight here in a minute.
Well, you're confusing me now. Hold on for a second.
Yeah, I'm confused, too. I was writing it down. I am confused, but whatever.
Yeah, Tank Dell is playing.
Yes.
Yes, he is playing. Yeah, Nico Collins is out, and Steph Diggs is out, right? Did I get that right?
Yes, Nico Collins is out until week 10.
Right. Okay, there we are. We're all settled down here now.
Okay.
You know, I would say this about the Houston Texans. It's not what it was last year. They're trying to find their way. They've had a lot of injuries. When you look at their depth chart, man, it's just red with people that are hurt, stuff like that. C.J. Stroud is taking more hits, throwing the football under much more pressure than I saw him under last year. You know, they move him around. He's elusive, all those things. The offensive line, it's having its problems. So, you know, you're right. I can understand why the Jets are favored Thursday night, their place. I guess the team that's beat up and really struggling more than we saw last year. So this is going to be interesting for the Jets.
Well, obviously firing Robert Saleh, at least in the short term here, has not worked. The team is 0-3 under Jeff Ulbrich. Do you think that the defense had its problems simply because Ulbrich now is asking to do more as being the head coach as well as just being the defensive play call, which we may have a difference come Thursday night for the Jets?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine it really is affecting him that much. In other words, you know, the head coach, there's a lot of things to do, of course. You know, who's hurt? What are we doing? How are we going to practice? Do all that. But I still think there would be plenty of time left, and there's many coaches that can kind of do both, that he can get ready to have the defensive game plan, have it set, and everything like that. I mean, it was there for the Jets last week, big time. It really was. But down when it counted on that last drive, they just made mistakes. They gave up plays they shouldn't have. And Jacoby Brissett against a big blitz makes a really good throw down the field. And once that throw happened, you just go, like the Jets are going to lose this game. And I'll give New England a little credit, though. They did a great job and fought hard to play better. But the quarterback did a good job getting them down the field.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I know you're probably not going to like this question. You're like, you know, breaking down what's happening right now and going too far into the future. I could tell you're probably not going to love it. But when I look at the Giants, this is a team that's going nowhere again. I actually like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and I hope that John Mara keeps them there for the next regime and the next quarterback and all of that. Do you think that there's a chance that this season goes off the rails in the way that it did with Joe Judge and the way that it did with Ben McAdoo that led to their early firings? Or do you believe that Brian Daboll is going to be able to keep this thing together enough to be able to be handed the keys back next year?
I'll say this, and I think about this, of course, all the time as I watch the games. And each week I think, well, I hope the Giants can pull a victory out to settle everything down with the franchise, with the fans, with you guys on the radio, whatever. And I think they can. I know that they're kind of the same thing when I talked about the Jets. I thought the Giants showed a little more hope on the offense this past week against Pittsburgh. You know, more plays. I mean, the swinging gate play, wow, that was unbelievable. It really was. Boomer, did you ever run that play in high school, college, or anything like that?
Yeah, we ran it, and, you know, everybody was aware of what the hell was going on. For some reason, and this also happened on the strip sack by T.J. Watt, you know, he's supposed to move the tight end over there. Illuminor thinks he's getting a chip. He sets a different way, and T.J. Watt comes over, and Daniel doesn't, you know, get the position right or doesn't get the formation right. I mean, these kinds of things keep happening, and this is our responsibility as quarterbacks. And you and I talk about this, and we have been talking about it for years. Communication, making sure everybody knows what's going on, and if there's a tip that needs to be given, you give the tip to the guy that you're getting ready to throw the ball to, or you remind the guy, hey, guys, special red alert, we got a special play, get ready, get your heads out of your asses, and let's go.
Well, that's pretty well said. You know, the swinging gate, you take your offensive line and throw them out there. And you catch the defense by surprise, or they caught Pittsburgh by surprise. And it's just count the numbers. Do we have more guys out there than they do? So we throw it out there. If they run a bunch of people out there, then we run another play and go up the middle and get the two-point conversion. So it was hard to – that was one play I just went, wow, how can you mess that up? It's really simple. I actually ran it twice in college. Very lucky I got two touchdown passes out of it. But it is. It's just numbers. It's easy. It shouldn't have been a mistake. It was a big mistake once again by the Giants in that situation. And when you talk about that and you talk about taking care of the best pass rusher on the other team, those are mistakes you cannot make. It would be like us playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, here was how we blocked them. Everybody's got their guy, and the free guy, the fifth guy, make sure you find Reggie White and go double-team him. And, you know, that's kind of what you have to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Same thing with Lawrence Taylor. Where's 56? Find him, and this is the way
make sure we double-team him.
We're sliding the line that way. We're sending it back that way. We're sending everybody over there because we don't want that guy to wreck the game like T.J. Watt wrecked the game. That's a game-wrecking play. And the quarterback did not have the wherewithal on the road in the biggest moment to have the right freaking formation. And that's the thing that pisses me off more than anything. And
wow.
That's the thing that just drives me crazy, because that is our responsibility.
Geo, gosh almighty.
By the way, your other great quarterback from your franchise, Eli Manning, called it on the Manning cast. As the play is unfolding, he's got to get the tight end over there to the right. And even Eli knew it was supposed to happen.
I mean, even Eli?
What I mean by even Eli, but in the moment, Eli knew it. I saw that the replay, and to his credit, Eli basically said, you got to get the guy over there. And then when he didn't move him over there and the strip sack happened, you could see how exasperated Eli was because Daniel didn't do the right thing.
Yeah, but we all know that Daniel Jones isn't the answer here. And this is what I was trying to get at. I mean, it's like we spin around in circles for the last how many friggin' years talking about Daniel Jones. He's not going to be the guy who is the answer for them. So really what I want to know, and this is the only question surrounding the Giants right now, Will Joe Shane and Brian Daboll be here and be allowed to select the next quarterback for this team?
Okay, well, first off, I'll answer that, Gio. But first off, it's an epidemic in the NFL, Boomer. When you talk about when the defense blitzes, we mess it up somehow, or not doing things like we saw with Daniel Jones against T.J. Watt. I watched so many games, and I go, oh, my God, why can't we block that guy and throw it down the field? It's almost every game, every team, for some reason, well, I do kind of know the reasons, I'm not going to get into it, they make mistakes about picking up the blitz. And for Daniel Jones, I would say this, if I was a betting man, Gio, I would bet heavy that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane will be back next year with this team. You know, to shake it up one more time And to start over, in the front office with the quarterback and whatever else you want to talk about, I think that's too much. So they had a great fight in them the other night against Pittsburgh. I saw a difference in the team, a little more energy, more plays. So I think they'll be able to hold it together enough where John Mara, and all the guys that make that decision for the Giants, they'll know that they got to give Joe Shane and Brian Daboll just one more chance.
All right. I think I know this answer because you and I speak regularly about the different things because I know you like evaluating quarterbacks, and I know that you've been watching a lot of college football, and we have talked about it. Let's say the Giants have the first overall pick in the draft. Who is the quarterback that they will select out of a list of Shador Sanders, Cameron Ward, Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milroe, and Carson Beck?
Well, I don't have an answer for that yet. I'm not sure about any of them as far as, you and I did talk. And I said, Boomer, this quarterback clash that everybody keeps talking about, all these guys going in the first, it's not going to happen. It's just not. As we watch the games, we see guys just go, okay, he just went from the first round to about the fourth round. I mean, it's just, the two that jump out at you, I guess, a little is Shador Sanders and then Cam Ward. And I look at Cam Ward, I think he's a really, really good college quarterback, but I got to see more and think about it and study him and all that. I don't look at him and go, wow, that's the first pick of the draft. I guess if I looked at any of them right now, it would be Shador Sanders would be the guy that I would say he at least crosses out a lot of the things you like. Size, mobile enough, good arm, accurate, lots of experience. So I think he's ahead of the whole class when I look at it.
Carson Beck. He also has a dad that's going to be a pain in the ass who probably doesn't want his kid to come to New York. He's basically kind of said, I'm going to be picking where my kid's going. I think he's going to the Raiders myself. If I had to guess. Now, let's just take him off the board. So, what about this kid, Quinn Ewers, at Texas, the guy that's sitting in front of Arch Manning?
Well, you watch a lot of college football. You guys do. When I watch him, let's see. I'll ask you a question. Now, give me the answer within a couple seconds. What's his great attribute? Go.
Arm strength. I think.
No, come on. No, not even close.
Eddie Scazzeri says leadership, and he is our king of college football and Fakakta football here. He said leadership is Quinn Ewers' greatest asset.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Leadership.
All right, so.
How about this? When you talk about a franchise quarterback, give me something that is physically going to make him the franchise quarterback. It's not just leadership. Okay. That's down the line.
All right, let me ask you this question. J.J. McCarthy, if he were in this draft, would he be the first first quarterback picked?
Well, what I saw about him in preseason, what little we got of him and everything, I would say absolutely. I mean, I got to tell you, he got on the pro field when I just watched it in preseason. I just couldn't get over how good he looked, how fast, how mobile in his arm. He does have a really strong arm, and he's accurate. So, yes, he would have been the first guy probably in my eyes, especially after what I saw in preseason, what little we did see of him.
Of the rookie quarterbacks, I know everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels, and we have spoken about him. How about Bo Nix and what he's doing in Denver right now?
Just gets better every single week. I mean, this past week was another episode of Bo Nix making plays, moving around. He's running great, throws really well on the run, got size. I mean, Sean Payton has found his guy. He's got just a newer version of Drew Brees. And this guy's a little more athletic than Drew probably was, moves around, stronger arm, and I love the offense they run. And it is, for a rookie quarterback, Sean Payton is holding nothing back. It's all out. Let's go. And Bo Nix, it's fun to watch just because it's every play. He's got a little Fran Tarkenton in him. He's got all this stuff going on, man. I tell you, I didn't think he would fit into the NFL as fast as he has or as easy, but been very impressive. And, hey, what is it now? 5 in a row for the Denver Broncos. They've won, so it's working out pretty well.
Phil, always great to talk to you, and we will talk to you next week for sure. Enjoy what will be hopefully a fun Thursday night game with the Jets and the Texans.
We hope so, too. Gio, you didn't get to ask any questions,
But the one I did ask, you know, you didn't answer. It took forever to
get it. Yeah, I mean,
you know, got into something else. Did I answer the second time around?
Yeah, you did. You did. Yeah.
Finally.
So, you kind of go, yeah. Hold it. Before you go, what do you think, Gio?
About what?
About that. When you look at it, what do you,
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, I want them to stay here, and I hope John Mara doesn't have that same impulse that he had with some of those other guys that he was probably right about. But I think that these guys are different. I think that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are not Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge. They're not Pat Shurmur. They're not Ben McAdoo. I think these guys are better than that. And I don't want the Daniel Jones experiment to sink them. But there are some questions about some of these other Joe Shane draft picks, though, that's a little bit scary. But I would trust them to pick the next quarterback, especially after I saw the way that Brian Daboll loved Jaden Daniels in Hard Knocks in the offseason.
Yes. Well, I'll go back and say this one more time to just reaffirm it. I'd be really surprised if it gets to a situation where that would happen, where they would let him go. I think the team is showing some fight. They're getting better. This year's rookie class is really playing well for him out there. I think that's a really good plus for the Giants and Joe Shane and the organization. And to change, oh my gosh, I just can't imagine going through another change with the New York Giants. So I think you're right. I think they will be here, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
All right, Phil. Talk to you
all
soon,
right,
man.
Everybody have a good day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.